Please respond to the reading in the bulletin. The purpose of the United Methodist Women. The organized unit of the United Methodist Women shall be a community of women whose purpose is to know God
and to experience freedom as whole persons through Jesus Christ.
To develop a creative, supportive fellowship.
And to expand concepts of mission through participation in the global ministries of the church.
There are 800,000 UMW members worldwide, with special emphasis upon women, youth, and children.
UMW supports missional activities and partnerships throughout every state in the nation and in over 100 countries around the world.
You may be seated, and then we'll sing together, "Here I Am, Lord," hymn number 593.
first reading this morning is taken from Matthew 25, verses 34 to 40. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me."
Hello. In honor of Denman, I'm going to say, "Come on up, gangbusters." And that means your kids. You remember when he would blow up balloons and he would be excited about the gangbusters? So, good morning. Good to see you all this morning. So you maybe heard Heidi talking about the special day today. Do you know what UMW stands for? United Methodist. Okay, that's C, but W is United Methodist Women. And they're the girls that do the mission work. They do take their crafts and they sell them. And they do that at the bazaar. You've seen that in our fellowship hall when we're all decorated for Christmas and we sell all those wonderful crafts. Well, those monies go for mission. And that's what we're celebrating, those wonderful women that do the mission work. And if you remember, Denman just turned 100 years old at Christmas. And the United Methodist Women started 50 years before Denman was born. So that's a long time ago, isn't it? Today we're going to talk about recycling. And I wanted to show you something. This is a water bottle, right? When these water bottles are recycled, they can be manufactured into items like clothing. This shirt is made from water bottles. Did you know that that would happen? This purse was made from water bottles. And it takes 63 water bottles to make a sweater. So sweaters can be made from water bottles. But I have this awesome story to read today. And it's a true story. It's about recycling, teamwork, and one crazy idea. So let's see what it's about. Are you guys good at recycling? All right. So this book takes place, this story takes place in Guatemala. Okay, each morning the Guatemalan sun climbed the mighty Tuscan volcano to wake the small, sleepy town of Granados. Fernando thought nothing exciting ever happened in his village, but then something amazing happened, and it all started with one crazy idea. So this is, you can see him sitting here with his dog, and this is his village, and this is the volcano above. So that day began like every other. Mama got ready for work while abuela, which means grandmother, fixed black beans and eggs, and abuelo, that's grandfather, told his stories. Then Fernando walked the steep hill to school. Up, up, up he climbed until he spied the school's metal roof. This is not easy to turn pages. When you got a microphone. Okay. Maybe if you have a page turner. You have a page turner? That would be great. Okay. Thank you. Okay, Fernando joined some friends playing football, you see it's spelled a little different, before school as he ran across the playground. He waved to his favorite teacher, Señor Laura. Before she'd moved to the village, Fernando was the only person in the whole school who wore glasses. But not anymore. Señor Laura wore them too. Their glasses helped them to see lots of things. Delicate spider webs, brilliant hummingbirds, colorful rainbows in the distance. And sometimes they even saw possibilities, new ideas that other people didn't. The morning bell rang out. 200 students squished into the small school. Two grades squashed into one classroom. Two children squeezed behind one desk. The walls between the classrooms didn't reach the ceiling, so hundreds of voices echoed through the school all day, every day. Some days it was too noisy to think. Can you see? Look at, oh, aren't they frustrated? And they're all squished in. Very difficult to study that way and learn. After morning lessons, mathematics and science, it was time for recess. Fernando ran into the wild, grassy schoolyard. He found Señor Laura sitting on a large frame made of red metal. The frame was an empty shell of a classroom that had not been finished years before. The village had started it, but there wasn't enough money to finish. But there was one thing Granados had plenty of. They had plenty of trash. The problem began when the products in fancy packages started arriving from other countries. The old water bottles, soda bottles, chip bags, and grocery sacks littered the land. The town didn't have recycled centers, no garbage trucks. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all around the town that this is what you would see? All around town. No recycling centers, no garbage trucks, not even a dump. There were no places to put their trash. Señor Laura took a sip of her cold soda. Then she set her bottle inside the metal bar. The plastic bottle sparkled in the sunlight. It was exactly the right width to fit as in the metal bar. And that's when it happened, the crazy idea. Señor Laura ran to the principal's office and told her all about it. I love this idea, Principal Reyna said. Let's get started right away. Then Señor Laura and the principal visited Fernando's classroom. Our trash piles are too big. Our school is too small, Señor Laura said. Do you think we could build a new school with old bottles and trash? That would take a lot of bottles, one student said. It sounds like a lot of work, worried another student. I'm not sure we could do it, said a third. Well, Fernando pushed his glasses up on his nose and peered outside. He studied the trash surrounding the school. He imagined a new row of colorful bottles on the metal frame. He pictured hundreds and hundreds of bottles stacked on one another. Then he saw it, a new, bigger school, a school with enough room for everyone. Okay. Fernando couldn't wait to start. His excitement spread to his friends and his family and neighbors. Before long, the whole town was talking about the school's crazy idea. Everyone wanted to help. Students, teachers, papas, mamas, abuelos, and abuelas, even the mayor. Children started collecting bottles, and near school, in town, beside fields, Fernando lugged bags of sticky bottles to school. He washed each one and set the bottles in the sun to dry. Day after day, the bottles grew. Students filled Principal Reyna's office with bottles, leaving only a narrow path to her desk. So you can see them all collecting, everyone, the whole town, even the mayor. The empty bottles were strong enough to build a wall, so students stuffed the bottles with trash to create eco-ladrillos, and in Spanish that means brick, ladrillos. Using small sticks, they shoved old chip bags, grocery sacks, and plastic trash into the bottles. The more ladrillos the children made, the cleaner and more beautiful the village became. So see, here are the bottles and all this kind of trash, all these things. They stuffed with a stick in the bottle. Before long, they had cleaned up the entire town. Then the bad news blew through the village like the August calentura wind. The bottles had been counted. They needed thousands more. The school could not be finished again. But Fernando still believed in the crazy idea. His friends did too. They strapped their sandals and walked miles to nearby towns, and they gathered more bottles and trash, and they kept stuffing. Fernando stuffed bottles before school, during recess, after school. He stuffed until his hands blistered. After 6 long months, the town finally had enough bricks or bottles. 6,000. That's a lot. It was time to start building. So this is how they do it. You can turn. Thank you. So the mayor brought bales of chicken wire. Students, so they have all the bottles stacked up in the wire there. And they covered it with the chicken wire, and they tied it securely in place. They left two large holes for windows. The Guatemalan sun would give them plenty of free light. Fernando stacked bottles between the wires, straight and tall. When the wall grew over his head, he climbed a homemade ladder. He was very productive, and kept stacking. Soon the wall was as high and mighty as very large tree. The children stuffed trash between the bottles to make the wall solid and secure. Villagers gathered to admire their rainbow-colored wall, but the school wasn't finished yet. Let's see how they're going to finish it. So the next thing, look at this fun. I think you guys would like to do this. The children dragged heavy bags of powdery cement inside. They sifted rock and sand through screens, and they mixed water into the fine sand and cement powder until it turned into a sticky paste. Fernando threw a glob of cement on the wall. Splat! Students covered the plastic walls. Splat, splat, splat. Local masons poured thick cement floors, and village welders installed windows and doors. Then the children grabbed brushes and painted the walls with bright rainbow colors. Some rooms were blue like the wide and endless sky, and they painted the outside with Principal Reyna's favorite color, orange. After 15 months, the school was finally finished. Ugly trash had turned into a beautiful school, and Granados was cleaned up. Joy filled the village, a joy so big it had to be celebrated. The town decided to throw a huge fiesta. Fernando and his friends decorated the school with streamers and signs. The principal gave a speech. The mayor cut a thick red ribbon, then hundreds of feet dance to the powerful beat of Mayan songs. Papas cheered, mamas cried, but Fernando just smiled. His school was exactly as he and Senor Laura had pictured it, big and beautiful, with plenty of room for everyone. It is hard. Okay. But that isn't the end of the story. Nearby villages heard about the school made of trash, and they began picking up their old bottles and bags, too. They used them to build new schools, recycling centers, fences, and more. And it all began with one crazy idea. I'm going to pick up our recycling here. Do you want to help me?
You can. Harris, do you want to help? You're not going to help?
Yeah.
It's a team effort. It's a team effort. All right.
All right, now I'm going to ask that you bow your heads, fold your hands, and we'll pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, want to repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for our beautiful schools and that our towns are clean and free of trash. Help us to work together to continue taking care of our community and our world together. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
This reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 15. The church at Corinth was having some problems. Various leaders were arguing over the relative importance of their responsibilities.
Oh, no eyes. Every part should be like me. I'm a tough and useful me.
I'm a mouth, a lovely voice of all the parts. I am the choice.
No, indeed. Who wants to talk? I'm a leg. I love to walk.
A leg can walk. But can it hear? For that, you have to have an ear.
But you can't smell with one of those. To smell, you have to have a nose.
Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and to us from 1 Corinthians 12, chapters 4 through 7. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, but the same Lord is served. There are different abilities to perform service, but the same God gives ability to everyone for their service. The Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each one for the good of all.
Well, you probably all know I'm not Susan Bauman Duren. She had to cancel due to the weather today. She drives from Madison. So actually, Rosie, Emily, and I are the backup plan. So on March 23rd of this year, United Methodist women from around the world will be celebrating 150 years of mission to women, children, and youth around our world. You may wonder what issues of the time brought our foremothers to feel the need to organize for mission. Let me share a little of our early history with you. The year was 1869 when two wives of missionaries from India, Mrs. William Butler and Mrs. Edwin Parker, spoke on a rainy night in Boston to a group of six women who were gathered to hear the two women talk about the conditions for women and children in India. You might ask, just what were the conditions in India? In India, no woman could be seen by a male doctor, and schooling for girls was almost non-existent. From that meeting came a second meeting. It was not a social gathering. There was no talk of the latest fashions, no chatter about the news from the market. The women were there to take action about what they had heard from the wives of the missionaries in India. They were fired up. What a productive meeting. The women nominated officers, and dues were set at $1 per year. They penned their reason for organizing, for the purpose of engaging and uniting the efforts of the women of the church in sending out and supporting female missionaries and Native Christian teachers. Through their efforts, the Methodist Women's Foreign Mission Society was formed. 6 months later, they sent two women missionaries to India, a female doctor and a female teacher. The missionaries were sent to India, or the missionaries who were sent to India were Isabella Thoburn, an educator who began a school with six young girls in Lucknow. This school expanded to include the Isabella Thoburn College, the first women's college in Asia. And Dr. Clara Swain began her medical work, resulting in the establishment of the first women's hospital in Asia. Both of these institutions are still serving the people of India today. In just 6 months, this newly formed group, the Methodist Women's Foreign Missionary Society, had raised enough money to support these two missionaries. They had bake sales, teas, sold eggs. They gave sacrificially. They pooled their money together and reached their goal of sending women missionaries to India. This is our legacy, our foundation, and the beginning of the United Methodist Women, which exemplifies faith, hope, and love in action. Love that notices, love that values and respects, and love that is self-giving. This is servant love. So why does the mission and vision of the United Methodist Women call for helping women and children?
In the 1800s, women and children were legally classified as chattel, legally dead non-persons. Women were considered the property of their fathers or husbands. There was little service of women because of prejudice and limitations of cultural attitudes in the church and in society. Women were the majority of those lacking education, health care, and proper nutrition, as well as access to systems that provide those resources. Today, women and children are still victims of oppression due to cultural or religious customs. They also suffer greatly from war and violence. A focus on the well-being of women has a great impact on the community. Today, women are educators and caregivers in most family settings, hence sharing resources, knowledge, and tools with the larger community. United Methodist Women strive to fulfill the mandate of Jesus Christ to care and provide for the least of these. And we call on the whole church and society to share in the call so women, children, and youth have a stronger voice in decisions affecting their lives. Women are still among the majority that lack health care, are illiterate, sometimes abused, and malnourished. From the very beginning, United Methodist Women were organized to provide education and health care for those needing it. United Methodist Women took up issues of women's rights to vote, full clergy rights for women, civil rights, public education for all, fair labor practices, racial justice, environmental and economic justice. These issues did not arrive in some neat, prioritized order. We worked on many of them at the same time, and the women of this organization did not always agree on how these issues should be addressed. Like the wind, the spirit can seem to move in many directions at the same time. That's one of the reasons we need each other. Women were not allowed in the pulpits to preach, so they proclaimed their dedication to Christ through service and advocacy on behalf of women and children. Some of the skills that were able to master were things like administrative skills, public speaking, advocacy, and leadership, as well as fundraising skills.
The scripture read this morning by Gina is fundamental to the United Methodist Women's mission and vision. The parable from Matthew 25 is perhaps the greatest sermon ever preached on the compassion for the poor and the marginalized. If you see somebody hungry and you fed them, Jesus says, "You fed me." If you failed to feed them, you failed to feed me. If you walked past them without helping them, then you walked past me. If you met a stranger and you welcomed them, you've welcomed me. If you care for a sick person, you've cared for me. If you visited someone in prison, you visited me. So what Jesus is saying here is that you can't love me without caring and loving for the hungry, the needy, and the imprisoned. The United Methodist women have had many advocates of social issues through their 149 years. We understand that God's character is one of action and one of faithfulness, as exemplified by Jesus, and so we are also moved to action. Our God is one who speaks and acts because they are the same. You cannot speak the word of God without action. Love one another is the commandment that tells us to put our love into action. We are transformed when we view the world through love for one another. Women all over the world want the same for themselves and for their families. They want a good meal. They want a good place to rest. They want security, joy, and a life of full of peace and love. And so we are all called to God so that all families may have these same basic skills met.
The Concordia United Methodist Women have a rich history of supporting missions locally and globally. In just the past 8 years, with proceeds from our bazaars, we have given over $47,000 to missions. The following organizations have benefited from our donations. Besides supporting Hope House in Baraboo financially, we also purchase pillows and sew pillowcases for the residents. Each person who comes to stay at Hope House is given a pillow and pillowcase. When they leave, they can take the item with them. For some people who have had to leave their homes quickly due to a bad situation or domestic abuse, this may be the only personal item that they have. Other organizations that have received donations from Concordia UMW include Sauk Prairie Food Pantry, 6-8, Hope Through Christ Ministry, Lynn's Legacy, Our Neighbor in Need, Habitat for Humanity, Concordia Good Samaritan Fund, and the Sauk Prairie School District Children in Need Program, and the Salvation Army. Globally, our donations have included to Redbird Mission in Kentucky, UMCOR Disaster Relief, and to our missionary, Paul Webster, in Zambia. This past year, we dispersed funds totaling $10,000 from our bazaar profits to the following organizations: Concordia Youth Fellowship, Habitat for Humanity, Hope House, Good Samaritan Fund, Salvation Army Sauk County, the United Methodist Children's Services, Northcott Neighborhood House in Milwaukee, and the United Methodist Hospital Ministries in Madison. Globally, we also supported Paul Webster. At the district level, we annually pledge to the Southwest District. In 2018, Concordia UMW pledged $1,500 to the Southwest District for mission projects that advocate for women and children's needs worldwide. Two other donations collected from our local UMW members annually are sent to the Southwest District each year. These include a call to prayer and self-denial during Lent and our thank offering collected in November. Both of these collected donations are used for supporting programs that advocate for women, children, and youth nationally and internationally. This is why mission giving dollars are so important. We don't have to know where each and every last nickel and dime goes, but we must have faith that those making decisions for us are doing the best they can with God's guidance and prayer. To send the $20 million or so dollars of mission money raised every year to where it is needed most, that takes faith, and that takes purpose. United Methodist Women is the largest denominational faith organization for women, with approximately 800,000 members whose mission is fostering spiritual growth, developing leaders, and advocating for justice for women, youth, and children in the U.S. and in more than 100 countries around the world. Today, as we look ahead to celebrating our 150th anniversary, UMW members are continuing to do just that. We are extending wholeness, healing, and abundance to others who are left out of God's table. We have formed a sisterhood of grace with the work we do, and we invite all you to join us in this important work. As Concordia has done so faithfully in the past, we ask this church family to continue to support and pray for the mission work of the United Methodist Women. And now would you please stand if you are able and join us in singing from the red hymnal, number 114, Many Gifts, One Spirit. join me in the unison, not the benediction yet. Please join me in the unison offertory prayer. Almighty God, you are the originator of mission. We thank you for your love and grace as we continue your work with the least of these. May we continue to experience you in new and deeper ways and have the courage to act on that faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Please join me in our morning prayer litany. You'll find it in the insert of your bulletin, and I ask you to respond with the words written in bold. In gratitude for the lives and legacy of our foremothers, whose passion for a just world influenced the founding of what we now know as the National Mission Institutions, we pray.
Be present with us, God of our foremothers, as we celebrate the rich legacy of faith, hope, and love in action.
In gratitude for the committed and dedicated deaconesses whose hearts were full of your vision for peace, love, justice, and service on earth, and whose lives of faithfulness have been examples for us, we pray. For the United Methodist Women members, whose dedication to service and advocacy for the underserved communities across racial lines bears witness to the spirit of our foremothers, we pray. For those without shelter, without food, without freedom, for those forced to flee their homelands and seeking a safe place of refuge, for those in prison, their families and friends, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, make fertile the soil for the planting and growing of hope and peace, and so that we can be instruments of your unfailing love and faithfulness.
You would have us pray. I would say that we want to pray for Keep Court Drescher in our prayers. He had another seizure this week, and so they're going to be walking through those experiences again. Dave Regala was in the hospital went into emergency for they found it was dehydration and is home now, but want to continue to keep him in our prayers. Kathy Howe went in for valve replacement this week, had an issue after that, so she had surgery again, and she's wanting to be home really bad, and she might say that she's been a little bit cranky about it. So we want to keep her in our prayers. And then also Denman as we move toward his celebration of life on Friday. Are there others? Let us pray. Lord, listen to your children praying. We pray with gratitude for those women 150 years ago who saw a need in the world. not just here at home, but around the world, places where women and children were not seen as fully human, and they have reached out through these years and continue to do so with compassion and caring, with loving and sharing. Continue to have your Holy Spirit be present with them as they work in this place, in this congregation, and throughout the world. There's so many needs. We are thankful that we can come here and be uplifted and receive encouragement when we need that. Help us to be sensitive to the brothers and sisters around us and to speak words of encouragement whenever we see the need, and help us to ask, continue to ask how people are. We do care about each other, and we want to show it. This morning we pray for our United Methodist Church, our delegates, our meeting in St. Louis these days, and are making decisions about who we are and who we will be. And so we pray your Holy Spirit might work wonders in that convention, that conference. We pray for people around the world who suffer anywhere, and we pray for those who are part of our congregation, those whom we have named. There are many people with special needs, many people who need a special touch or reassurance right now. We pray that their faith will remain strong as they walk through days with difficulty. Bring healing and reconciliation. Holy and gracious God, we give you thanks for the gift of life, for the gift of Jesus, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Lead us through our difficult days, our suffering and our sorrow, our challenges and our struggles, our tired times and our dark places. Be with those who weep or those who cannot sleep, who have no peace or who seek release. Lead us with grace and love and peace. Fill us with hope and patience. Transform us into your image of your Son, Jesus. Transform our lives that we would grow and understand. We would be able to see what is around us. Transform us that we can be made whole, and in wholeness would continue to be the hands and the feet, the face and the heart of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And would you turn now to hymn number 572, Pass It On.
And so the roads are broad and worn up in its flow.
Please join me in the unison benediction. New every morning is your love, great God of light. All day long you work for good in the world. Stir up in us a desire to serve you, to live peacefully with our neighbors, to devote each day to your Son, for each day you make things new for us. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.